this is Brad Geiger welcoming you to another episode of Hey Comics Kids, or one of the supplementary podcasts, 50 Minute Max or Smart Alex. If you want, you can subscribe to all three at iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. And if you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/heycomicskids. All the money there goes to a fund earmarked for the kids' education. This is a show we record just about every morning on our drive to school. We're having a lot of fun doing it, and it's great to hear that you're having a lot of fun listening to it. Now, without further ado, here are the stars of the show, 12-year-old Alex and 8-year-old Max. And we're back. It's another episode of Hey Comics Kids. I'm Brad Geiger, along with my younger son, Max.
Hi.
And my older son, Alex.
Hi.
And I've got an idea I want to pitch to you guys. When comics first started out, when they first... The very beginnings of comic books were basically collections of newspaper comic strips that were printed in a newspaper supplement.
Like the funnies?
Booklet, yeah. And those did so well that they took the booklet out of the newspaper and sold them separately on newsstands. And those did so well that small publishers would start getting people to make stories just for the booklets, not even for the newspapers. And that's really the birth of the comics industry. And you've got all kinds of comics in that golden age of comic books. Not only superheroes, but cowboys, space stories, romance, all kinds of things. Yeah, Max?
So we're starting off in the golden age.
So it starts in the golden age.
Of comic books. And I want to say that I know for a fact that the superheroes like Superman were totally different with design. And if you've seen a picture of the first Superman comic book, like maybe even a poster, or just like a poster of one of the Superman costumes back around the first Superman comics when Superman was still new, then you know what I'm talking about, but he was way different.
Right. Yeah, it was a very different look, and especially... The Golden Age Green Lantern and the Golden Age Flash looked very, very different. Completely different costume designs, right?
Yeah.
So...
Well, considering the Green Lantern, it's more different costume designs, mainly because there have been different Green Lanterns, each with a different costume.
No.
No?
The original Green
that
Lantern...
That doesn't count?
The original Green Lantern... of Earth was a very different character. He had a red and green costume. He had a cape. He was blonde.
And his ring was weak to wood.
That's right. So
weak to wood. Yeah, that's the best weakness ever. Superman's laughing over here with kryptonite. Yeah, he got the short end of the stick, didn't he?
Well, Golden Age Green Lantern was one of the few superheroes you could work with a baseball bat. That is true.
However, seriously, Superman's kryptonite there's basically none of it except unless you're Lex Luthor.
Right.
For any villain that Superman started out with, because I know he didn't start out with Superman. He actually started out with a different character.
Who?
I might be thinking of someone else, but I know that Superman didn't start out with Lex Luthor.
Oh, as a supervillain? Yeah, I think Lex Luthor came a little bit later.
And remember, Superman really shouldn't be laughing with kryptonite, because Lex Luthor has kryptonite coming out of his ears.
He seems to, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I thought that the only place to find that was
Krypton,
because you know they share the same name. It'd just be kind of stupid.
It's a mineral from Krypton.
To name something off of a mineral, well, I guess planted vegetable over there agrees with Krypton, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
You know, Planet Vegeta, Dragon Ball Z reference.
Oh.
Planet Vegeta, planted vegetable.
Oh.
So, the Golden Age was kind of brought to an end
by the death of Gwen Stacy.
No. No. The Golden Age was brought to an end basically by World War II, because they had to shift all of their production and a lot of... they had to shift all their production so that we couldn't waste ink and paper on things like comic books. All that had to go to the war effort. And similarly, a lot of the people who were working in the Golden Age, a lot of the artists, they were drafted or enlisted into the armed services, and, you know, they weren't making comics anymore. Stan Lee, all those guys joined the army. And so they weren't doing comics. Although some of them, like Will Eisner, ended up doing comics as part of the war effort. But, they weren't working on stuff back here at home. So that the World War II kind of brings the Golden Age to an end. The Silver Age kicks off when some of these publishers realize they've got these characters and why not use them? And it really kind of kicks off with the Flash. And it's a redesigned Flash. And it goes over so well that they redesigned the Green Lantern into the form that we're more familiar with. And this takes off like gangbusters. It really becomes huge. And this is the birth of the Silver Age, which is going to be dominated by superheroes.
Now, by redesign of the Flash, do you mean like from like with the Flash when he had the little hat with the lightning bolts on it?
Yeah, the original Flash had a helmet similar to the Greek god Mercury. He had a helmet with wings on it. And as a matter of fact, that Golden Age Flash, is, from what I read, is going to be making an appearance in the Flash TV series that's, if not premiered already, is going to...
Oh, yeah, I saw the commercial for that, and I am so excited.
So
you guys need to catch up on your Flash.
Oh, I have. I finished season one.
Ah, doggone it all.
I just stopped waiting for you guys to actually sit down and watch it with me, and I just binged-watched.
Well, I need to catch up. That is true. So, the Silver Age kicks off. And like I said, that's going to be really dominated by superheroes. Silver Age is when we first see characters like Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, Marvel. It kind of comes into its own with the premiere of the Silver
Avengers.
Age. Interestingly enough, first came the Justice League. And it was, they took all these characters, some of which they had from the Golden Age, and put them all in the same book so that they could use all their characters at the same time. And this was doing, as it turned out, the publisher of Marvel was playing golf with the publisher of DC, and the DC publisher was bragging about all the money that this Justice League book was making him. And the Marvel publisher came back from the golf course and immediately said, "We need to do the same thing. Give me a superhero team." Well, and that's when the Avengers was born.
Well, you could call this a rip-off of the Avengers, just a rip-off of the Justice League. But look at them side by side, and look at those stories side by side, and you can definitely see major difference. It's more than just the characters. It was like, a lot of the things are actually pretty new and different.
Well, remember when I came and talked about writing to your class a couple weeks ago, Max?
Yeah.
That was one of my main points.
People who already will have the same idea as you do. There's no such thing as a new idea.
Right.
Because, in the Golden Age, it's DC started to burst your bubble. But I bet you a fan, some really big fanboy out there had probably created their own little series that they keep at their house.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter that DC had the idea for a superhero team first. Marvel brought something so new to it that it wasn't, you can't call it a ripoff. They brought something completely new to the idea, right?
And it's not just Marvel characters. They bought every Marvel character. DC just had a selected five or six, that were decided to be in the Justice League.
Well, there are Marvel characters that were never part of the Avengers.
Yeah, because they did terribly, nobody remembered them.
No, I don't think that was the case.
Or they just didn't remember.
Remember, up until like the late 90s, Spider-Man was never part of the Avengers. Mm-hmm. There was a huge chunk of time where Spider-Man was not part of the Avengers.
Marvel, why have you cursed us?
Well, he was in the Avengers for a little bit, and everyone thinks of Spider-Man as, oh, he's that character who was in the Avengers. And whenever you think Avengers, you think Spider-Man. So even though in the original comics, Spider-Man only got one or two comics with the Avengers, everyone thinks of him as in the Avengers.
That's so interesting for me to hear, because it is so not my experience that you think of Spider-Man as an Avenger. But again, you're reading a different set of comics than I did.
Well, I looked at a list of the Avengers comics from the point A to point B, mm-hmm. and Spider-Man was only in one or two.
Right.
And I read all these other comics, and Spider-Man is all like a little more modern Avengers comics, and maybe some of them maybe a little off canon, mm-hmm. and Spider-Man is always in them.
Right. Yeah, there was a period of time where in the 80s and early 90s where Spider-Man kept getting close to joining the Avengers, but then for one reason or another never could really commit. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, in the storytelling, that, you know, it would mean spending too much time away from Mary Jane and Aunt May. He had responsibilities.
Well, what about the new Avengers?
What about him?
Well, Spider-Man was in the new Avengers, wasn't he?
Yep. That came much later.
Yeah, I know
than
that.
The storytelling that I'm talking
and
about.
And it looks like in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that Spider-Man might be in the Avengers somehow.
Without a doubt, he is, yes. Yeah, that is confirmed. So,
and I noticed in some of the TV shows, Spider-Man's definitely in the Avengers.
Yes. So that is the Silver Age, and that is really dominated by superheroes. And that's the major two delineations of comics. We can kind of talk about the Bronze Age. The most important thing that happens after the Silver Age kicks off, one of the most important things is the Comics Code authority comes into passing when Congress becomes all tied into knots over whether comics are corrupting the young people who are reading.
Oh, because of the psychiatrist who wrote about comics and how they delude kids into thinking that all this stuff is totally doable.
Well, not only doable, but there were some, in the Silver Age, there were some really, really
gory,
scary horror comics.
Yeah, I've seen some.
And so, as a way to kind of
combat?
Well, they were going to be put out of business. You know, schools were hosting book burnings where they were encouraging kids to bring their comics to school so that they could be burned. There was a lot of shame around if you got caught with a comic and you were a young kid. And it was, you know, the sales were plummeting. And it was really getting to be if they didn't do something quickly, comics was going to go out of business.
So they did the Comics Code.
And this was a way for them to say, okay, from now on, all the comics that we publish are going to carry that Comics Code Authority seal. And what that's, they put up this, it was almost silly. They put up this committee
that
was mainly like one or two people who were would read these comics and make sure that they adhered to the principles of the Comics Code Authority.
Which was like the hero must always win in the Comics Code Authority. The villain must always lose, obviously.
Right.
And there must be no deaths. Like, no, I think, hero deaths.
Even more than death, you couldn't show blood.
Yeah. There's no gore.
No gore, no blood. And the way some artists got around that is that they, in a lot of these comics, they would draw blood, but it would be black. And since it wasn't red, then you couldn't identify it as blood, and it would kind of sneak through.
Or it'd be like alien blood if it was like... Would alien blood count?
If it was red, I would imagine so. But you couldn't have blood...
Like, I'm guessing it'd be like
green? And the Comics Code Authority even went further to say that you couldn't have anybody questioning the authority figures. So nobody could, like, talk back to a policeman. Policemen are always to be respected in the comics. You couldn't question authority, which was... Especially remembering that the Silver Age kicks off in the 60s, really took comics out of the national conversation.
But,
go ahead.
And, like, you know, if you've seen Age of Ultron, you know, if the Comics Code was there, that movie would pretty much not, wouldn't have worked, because you know why Ultron decides to rebel?
Why?
Because civilians disobey the guys that try to keep him safe, and he thinks that humans are bad and they should be destroyed.
Yeah.
Right, and he's a robot, and this story is so original. The robot rebels against humanity.
Yeah. Cough, cough, Terminator. Cough, cough, RoboCop. Cough, cough.
Everything that involves a robot.
You were saying, Dad?
So, the Comics Code Authority does its job in... It keeps comics alive, but at the same time, it kind of takes comics out of the conversation. In other words...
And then you have those weird Batman comics where he has to wear one color at a time each night he fights crime and stuff like that.
I'm not aware of what you're talking about.
And never mind, I'll explain
I've seen
later.
Batman
always had the same colors on. Was there a time that Batman wore
There's
red?
There's like one comic. I don't know why, but he had to wear like one different like bright color at a time each night. I don't know why.
But that was just for one issue.
Yeah, it might have been for one issue, might have been for two. And they had these like rainbow color. It was weird.
Okay. But I don't think that has much to do with it.
Actually, I think it kind of made fun of it in Batman Brave and the Bold. I'll show it to you sometime.
Oh. Or the Silver Age, but it sounds like a very interesting story nonetheless. The comics kind of got taken out of the national conversation, right? They weren't relevant anymore. They weren't talking about things that people were interested in. You can't have a comic in the 60s and not have a little bit of questioning of authority. Characters couldn't be shown, you know, nobody could be shown using drugs.
Or getting drunk,
or having sex, and you know there was none of the things that would make a comic even slightly edgy. So when you see people walking around today insisting that comics, you know, should only be considered for children, that's still an effect of the Comics Code Authority, because you were writing stories at such a G-rated level that only kids would read them. Go ahead.
So, it was basically like this. And then Superman shot a rainbow beam out of his mouth.
Oh, my.
No.
I'm not sure what either one of you guys are
saying.
That
mental picture is scaring me. No.
So, So let's move on, because I think we're getting bogged down. After the Silver Age and the Golden Age, the most important thing that happens post Comics Code Authority is the Image Age of comics. And that is when a bunch of guys from Marvel decide that they don't want to work under the Marvel umbrella anymore. They're not getting paid for their creations. They're not getting, they don't have ownership over these characters that they created. And they form Image Comics, which was a huge, this was a revolt. This was an upsurge, an uprising. It was all anybody could talk about, the Image Comics movement. A bunch of the top Marvel Comics guys left Marvel and started an entirely creator-owned comics label that still goes on today.
Well, everybody except Stan Lee, unless he just
Stan had long since had gone beyond creating comics.
And he was just kind of a
publisher, figurehead.
Kind of a publicity figure for Marvel Comics.
Right.
He got kind of...
Right. And Image Comics, you know, has been significant in comics history. If you guys are familiar with the Walking Dead TV series, that started out as a comic that was published by Image Comics.
I know that.
And, you know, the guy that created that, Robert Kirkman, has benefited hugely through the success of that. And if he was working for Marvel or DC when he did it, he would not be benefiting as much. Walking Dead is creator owned. Robert Kirkman owns all of that, and that's really something.
Including the TV show.
What's that?
Including the TV show.
Yes, everything. He has ownership
of
the concept, so he's done really well for himself. But you've got to stop and think. If he had done Walking Dead for Marvel, Marvel would be making all the money, and he would be sitting in
a dark room
somewhere, grouching.
Sitting in a dark room drawing more comics.
Yeah. So, my question to you is, now that we've gone through the Golden Age and the Silver Age, we've seen the Comics Code Authority come and go, and we've seen the Image Age crest, what is the next age of comics? What age are we living in right now? What is the age of comics that we're living in? What would you call it, Alex?
I was gonna call it the Dark Age, but that sounds like it would be before the Bronze Age.
Well, why does the word dark come to mind? Why
well,
would you call it dark?
Dark because I noticed a lot of comics have very dark kind of drawings and details,
mm-hmm.
and the storyline itself, it's kind of gone above the comics code.
Well, the comics code is long since...
It's long dead.
...ceased being used, yeah.
And they... Like, everything is a lot more darker.
So the storytelling has gotten...
A lot less censored.
Alex, since you mentioned it earlier, I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself. On what issue, on what event, did the Silver Age officially die?
Oh, when the comics code... Wait, does this technically count as a break of the comics code, or is the comics
kind
code...
Kind of, yeah.
I always thought this was the Golden Age, but when Gwen Stacy died by technically Spider-Man, technically Green Goblin's hands.
Right,
they
so
both
Spider-Man, trying to save Gwen Stacy, accidentally kills her.
An event that was the only good part in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
So... The movie, yeah.
The movie.
So, that's a lot of people kind of use that as a bellwether to say after that, comics started getting increasingly darker. And then you had Frank Miller's Dark Knight.
That was scary.
That obviously got very dark.
Have you seen the movie? Animated movie that they did for that. It is scary.
I saw that one.
It is scary.
But... Yes, comics have gotten progressively... The storytelling, it swung... The pendulum has swung way over to the other side. So you've got a lot of very, very serious topics being covered in comics. And you've got some comics that are quite bloody, quite gory, maybe even sexually suggestive. And you've got storytelling that would never have... succeeded under the Comics Code Authority.
Like but the first movie of Terminator.
Does that mean they're necessarily better? I ask you this, Max.
I think that what age we're heading in.
Oh, don't answer the question you wish I'd asked you. Answer the question I actually asked you. Does the dark storytelling automatically mean better storytelling?
Well, it depends on the view. You can't make something that everybody likes. You can only make something that only a certain amount of people like. Like, because everybody has something different. And I'm not talking about the everybody's different thing that you probably hold at least 100 times in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about some things may appeal to a certain person while others don't. You might have the one guy who likes lighthearted storytelling and the guy who doesn't like who likes more darker storytelling.
So, Alex says that we're in the dark age of comic storytelling.
I was gonna say it, but I decided, after you got done, the beginning of how the Silver Age kicked off,
mm-hmm.
I was gonna kind of call it almost the Double Silver Age or the Diamond Age, because everything now is kind of ruled by comics, the movies, and just everything. Comics and superheroes kind of dominate.
Is this the cinematic age of comics, where everything is dominated by the movies?
Well, no, because I wouldn't call it the cinematic, because DC hasn't done so well with the cinematic.
But they're trying, but DC has done particularly well on TV.
Good point. But does that count as cinematic? Because
What's a word that would encompass both movies and TV?
Crossover.
What else is dominant in comics right now, Max?
I think that what age we are heading in, or what is dominant, is digital. Look to the side of you. What will you most likely see? A wall.
Wait a minute. What?
A wall, but let me finish. But what's inside of that wall is probably filled with wilds.
Bricks?
Wilds. There's probably wires that are connecting to electrical things.
Outlets.
If you look around, there's probably going to be at least one thing electronic that you see. And people are switching over to their iPhones and iPods from actual books, daily. People are starting just to use the electronic form of it.
Right. So what?
So, I think that we are heading into the digital age, and including with the movies that have been made, specifically Marvel, that have been really good.
So you're saying not only the fact that many comics are switching over to digital for their distribution in terms of reading your comics on a tablet or reading them on a screen instead of reading them in paper, but also you include the films and the TV shows. That's included in the digitization of comics.
No, we aren't heading into the digital age. We are in the digital age.
Mm-hmm. And that includes both comics readers and film and TV.
Yeah.
Interesting point. Alex, what age do you think we are in right now comics?
I'd really have to say we're in the cinema age because of all the superhero movies, both bandmate, both, like, not Marvel and DC. Or Marvel and DC, there have been a lot that have to do with, like, superheroes in general. I'm mainly talking about Big Hero 6 is a really good example.
Because of the Marvel reference at the end, I hope you guys know.
And just everywhere you look, we're kind of dominated by either cinema superhero figures or just superhero toys, anything in general. Posters, you name it.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
At the first spoiler alert.
Go ahead.
Well, before you click away, I want to say something.
Too late, they already clicked away.
I want to say that there will, that for Big Hero 6, if you haven't seen the movie, one, see the movie, it is such a good movie, and two, stick for the credits, because if some of you may know what I'm talking about, some of you may not, and you might just view it as a kid's film, but just because it's animated doesn't mean it's for kids.
Oh, and you have to wait for the end. Follow my orders and wait for the end.
Follow the credits.
The whole end.
It will be so pleasing to Marvel fans. Like, for me, it's pretty, I feel as if it's an animated Marvel film, but without the characters in the area.
And also, to kind of prove my point, you can look at TV shows. You have The Arrow, The Flash. There's a couple others, but I think they got canceled.
So, here's my question to both of you. If I could wave a magic wand and pick you up and plop you down in the middle of any comics era, the golden age, the silver age, the image age, which era would you like to visit the most? Or do you think that all those are nice, but it's perfect just being in the age that we are in now? I ask you this, Maxwell.
This is a tough question. But I would say the image age, just so I could laugh at the outfits of the 80s.
Do you think the costuming in the 80s was worse than it is now in some way?
We also have to factor in the Superman powers given by every comic. So
say that again.
You know how Superman used to have, like, a bunch of powers, and then he'd be, like, almost undefeatable?
Uh-huh.
You also have to sit and laugh at that, too.
Well, that would, if you wanted to do that, then you'd be going right towards the Silver Age, right?
Exactly.
So, for that reason, Alex, would you want to visit the Silver Age most?
No, because I like the age I'm in right now, because the comics have really kind of gotten more detailed, and they've gotten a lot more interesting, let me say that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I actually have to agree with Alex.
And another thing I'm thinking about is the one thing I don't like about the really old comics
is
the fact that anytime they were gonna do something, they'd flat out say it, like, oh no, the plane's crashing thing, what do we do? Okay, if you will now look at my feet, easily with my superpowers, I can kick my feet under the plane and stop it like so.
There was a lot of explaining. They didn't trust the art to do the storytelling.
And it drove me crazy. Also, this age has Deadpool. So, not how Deadpool kind of started, but actually, like, funny Deadpool.
Funny Deadpool.
Actually, I have to agree with Alex, because of the age right now that we are living in, and comics have gotten a big boom. And Dad, I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
For the comics code,
yes.
Has there been any movie form of it?
Any movie form of the comics code?
Like, I'm not saying, like, just the comics code, but, like, any type, like, the similar relationship thing. Oh, something similar.
Has movies had a comics code?
Yeah, but not exactly.
Back in the early days, I think this goes back to the 30s? Don't check me on that, or do check me on that.
Was it called?
I think it was called the Warren...
it was a Warren something.
The Warren Commission or something.
Yeah.
I got to check on it, but I do know that movies had a very similar code that they made their move, that you know, Hollywood made movies by, and it was for much the same reason. The movies were getting a little bit too explicit for the taste of the general public, and it might just be a
How long did that comics code last?
How long did the comics code last?
Like the movie comics code.
The movie comics code kind. Well, what happened with the movie comics code is similar with what happened eventually to the comics code. And that is, they kind of moved away from saying that all movies have to fit into this one designation. And what they did was they started applying a ratings system, similar to what you guys see on video games, to the movies. So you've got a G-rated movie, that's general admission. PG movie means you got to be a little bit older to really be able to understand what's going on. PG-13, older yet. R means that there's going to be some really grown-up stuff in it, and so on and so forth. So what has happened is that movies moved to that very quickly. That way they could make an entire range of different types of movies for people who would appreciate them at every level. You could have a movie that you could take your kids to, and then you could have a movie that was more for grown-ups that they could appreciate, because... You know, sometimes, you know, if you're a grown-up trying to watch a G-rated movie, it's fun when you're with your kids, but there are other stories to be told that aren't appropriate for younger kids that are still good stories. So, same thing eventually happened in comics. They adopted a ratings system so that you could tell, okay, is this, if I pick up this comic, like as often happens when we're standing in the store. Can I pick up this comic? Is it going to have content in it that I might find a little bit inappropriate? And then the all-time best way of finding out if this content is appropriate is flipping through it and reading it a little bit. And see for yourself. Don't let somebody else decide for you what's appropriate, but kind of do a little bit of research and figure out for yourself what you want for your family and yourself. So that's what happened with comics. They finally scrapped the Comics Code Authority, which was very unrealistic and led to some very timid storytelling, and adopted a rating system similar to what you see in movies and video games.
Dad.
Yes.
This is my final question.
Okay.
Has there ever been a song version of this?
That similar thing happened in the music industry. They there was, back in the 80s, a real pushback on lyrics that were supposed too suggestive. And actually, one of the forefronts on that argument was the wife of a senator who would go on to be vice president under Bill Clinton, Al Gore. His wife, Tipper Gore, was leading the charge against song lyrics that were too suggestive.
Cue dramatic music. Freaking Al Gore?
Al Gore.
Oh my gosh.
So the upshot of that was, again, labels on the albums that would say, oh, you know what, on some of these songs there might be some lyrics that deal with topics that you may not be ready for your kids to hear yet. At the end of the day, you listen. Sooner or later, the world happens around you, and I would just as soon have that stuff out in the open and then discuss it than try to hide it. But there's all kinds of different people in the world. Everybody addresses these things in their own way. Does that answer your question?
Yep. And just saying, this probably brought forth of the song that I've been that I've heard a lot of times. Don't talk to strangers.
No, the 80s hit Don't Talk to Strangers had nothing to do with safety or explicit lyrics or anything other than the fact that I think you just cued into that lyric and found it interesting.
Don't talk to strangers, baby, don't you?
So that's the ages of comics as time flies by. I don't know about you. I think it would have been great to live in the Silver Age of comics. That's, I think, when comics were at their most powerful in print form. And you could go into any store and just see some of the most imaginative. Let's face it, without the imagination, the sheer imagination of the Silver Age, there would be no digital age. Everything that you guys appreciate so much about the digital age, the Marvel movies, the DC TV shows, all of that is based on the storytelling from the Silver Age, with a few exceptions. The Watchmen was not Silver Age, for example.
Even though The Watchmen is awesome.
But that's an exception. But, like, the Avengers, all of that stuff is based very much on that Silver Age storytelling. You cannot have a digital age. I would love to go back and see that whole thing developing on a week by week, month by month basis. See that next Jack Kirby issue of the Fantastic Four coming out, and seeing it as brand new, never before seen anywhere, and just appreciate it for what
Trouble
it was.
Back and shake hands with Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko out of Silver Age Comic Con.
Find Steve Ditko, he's still alive and living in New York.
Yeah, I know that, but.
Jack Kirby. He doesn't shake a whole lot of hands. He doesn't. I don't think he feels very good about his time at Marvel Comics.
Why?
That's a long story podcast, but basically, this is another situation where he really played a pivotal role in creating Spider-Man and never got credit, and more importantly, never got the monetary compensation, never got paid. When you think about all the licensing that they put Spider-Man's image and symbols on, there's millions, if not billions, of dollars generated every year. And Steve Ditko, who really performed the lion's share of creating that, hasn't seen a significant sum from that.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, because Spider-Man's like the most recognizable superhero.
He's one of the three top most recognizable. I think you could argue Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man are the three most recognizable heroes. And those were all created for corporations under work-for-hire contracts, basically, that said that the creators don't own the intellectual property that the corporations do. Just something to think about next time you see a contract in front of you. What do you think, Max? Do you want to wrap this show up?
All right. You can also find us at Stitcher, at iTunes, Stitchers, and the Blueberry Network. And finally, speaking for myself, my dad over there, and my brother, bye, buddy.
Let's get this show
off the road. Beat you to it.